Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Tonight, we got a thin bench, Dave. Kevin is wrestling.
Put me in, Coach.
Put me in, Coach.
I'm ready, Coach.
Kevin's wrestling, and Juge is up and disappeared. He might have, like, pulled a quad playing tennis or something. As always, Saints Happy Hour, we are brought to you by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Did you go there this weekend? Did you watch LSU beat Mississippi State? Did you watch Tulane? And we won't talk too much about Tulane. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. They have everything you want. They have a menu that's awesome. Go there. They support us, so you should support them. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dave, here's the thing with the Saints, man, is...
You're just getting right into it, huh?
Yeah, they're... The thing is, they are completely rebuilding their roster, but they have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
And
I read your article.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, I think a lot of casual fans, which some people listen to this podcast are and some aren't hardcore fans, I think a lot of casual fans were like, oh my God, I can't believe how many young kids they're playing. But this is kind of where we are, where you're going to get Delvin Bro, who's going to have four penalties on one side of the ledger, but a fumble recovery and a big pass breakup at the end. So, I mean, was there anything you saw yesterday where you went, oh, no, that's really, really bad. I didn't see that coming.
There was nothing that I didn't see coming. I had low expectations for this game, and I think any level-headed Saints fan would have felt the same way. And, I would say all of the things that I expected to not look so great, they did look so great. They were a little shaky on defense, and offense was a little lackadaisical as well. You know, I think the two big things were the red zone. I think they could do a better job in the red zone. I think they would much rather have. I mean, they kicked four field goals. I'm sure they would. Obviously, not all those are in the red zone, but I think they'd rather turn some of those into touchdowns. I think that's going to be a big difference. And wait. I had one. Oh, the defensive line. I mean, it was zero sacks. They didn't get too much pressure. But again, none of these things were things that are surprises to me.
I mean, the thing that surprised me was I knew the defense was going to be bad. And I actually was pleasantly surprised by the corners. I thought Swan looked good. We'll get to him in a second. And I thought Anthony looked good. Anthony, if he makes one of those interceptions, one of them he would have taken to the house. So, I mean, he could have swung the game a either way, but when was the last time you were talking about a Saints linebacker being athletic enough to make an interception? So that's a good thing. But here's the thing I was really depressed about is Arizona was, I think, number 31 or 32 running the ball last year. And their offensive line, they were missing their big free agent acquisition, a guard from the 49ers. I can't pronounce his name, Iapati or something. They had a backup center playing. Their right tackle that they drafted was terrible. And they took the ball and they jammed it down the Saints' gullet and ran for 125 yards, 5 yards a carry. And look, Arizona, they're in the offensive line. I think they might end up being a top three team in the NFC, maybe even get a bye. They are good. Their defense is really good. But their offensive line is not good, and they are not a running team, and they mash the Saints. And the run defense, as crazy as it sounds, it might be worse than last year, you know? And I saw nothing. Did Akeem Hicks, did he even make the flight to Arizona, Dave? you know?
I realize this afternoon and this evening, as I was listening to the radio, and somebody mentioned Akeem Hicks' name, and I said, you know what? I started thinking back to the game. I don't remember seeing Akeem Hicks out there at all. I mean, I'm sure he was out there, but he didn't seem to be too effective.
I don't know. Did he make a tackle? I mean, here's the thing that with him is they got him in 12. He showed a little potential. In 13, he was really good. Last year, he was down. He was injured and fat. But he's in a contract year. If there's ever a year a player is going to show you their best, it's when they can get paid. So if he can't be good this year, he's never going to be good. I mean, right.
I agree. Usually these contract years, especially, you know, that first contract after you've drafted, you know, usually that's the one year you really want to play well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, is I thought the pass rush was, I mean, I got in a little argument with some people on Twitter. They were saying, oh, the pass, the advanced stats.
You argued with people on Twitter?
Yeah, I did.
No.
And they're like, oh, the advanced stats are good, and the pass rush was okay. I'm like, no, the pass rush was not okay. And I know it's not all about sacks, but, man, they didn't get enough consistent pressure to make Carson Palmer even a little bit nervous. I thought Kikaha was okay. I thought Cam Jordan was okay at times, but that's about it, man. The guys that people were so excited about in training camp, Edebali and Barnes and Richardson, those guys are garbage, and they ain't going to do nothing all year. And I bet Nick Underhill, he was telling me you don't make jump to conclusion. I said to him, 34 sacks the Saints had last year. Let's bet for charity over under. I don't think there's any way in hell the Saints are going to get 34 sacks in 15 games. He didn't take me up on it, neither did anybody else. This pass rush is bad. If they had that in Vegas, Dave, I would bet like $5,000 that the Saints aren't going to get to 34 sacks.
Wow. I mean, sure you could find somebody that would take that bet in Vegas. I'm sure you could find somebody
who would
set odds on that.
Well, I mean, it's a shit show in defense. And here's the thing, you know, and I was waiting for Andrew, and hopefully Andrew will miraculously appear and join us. But Raphael Bush is out for the year now. So
yeah.
The Saints, they signed Kenny Phillips, and he's not terrible. He's played in the NFL. He had been good. He won't be as bad a tackler or take horrible angles and probably bust coverages like Pierre Warren would. But the thing is with the Saints, Dave, as Andrew would say, Pierre Warren is the Jason David of safeties. They're one injury away from Pierre Warren playing, and when Pierre Warren plays, it's very, very bad.
Well, last week, you know, we speculated. We said they only have three safeties on the roster, plus Bird, plus Jarrus Bird. And so yesterday, last week, we speculated and postulated and assumed that meant, in addition to your quote-unquote source.
Not a source.
We assumed that meant that Bird was going to be coming back.
I don't know, man.
Sooner rather than later.
I texted him today, and
your
he didn't
source?
Get... Yeah, about am I going to look stupid this week, and I didn't get anything back. But I'm not going to play that. I'm not going to play the cripple Adam Schefter this week. That's not a news report or anything. That's just some information out there. I mean, this defense, man, they are not good. And I wonder I asked the poll question on Twitter, and I'll ask it to you, Dave. My son, his due date is December 10th. is Rob Ryan still going to be the defensive coordinator for the Saints when my son says hello to the world?
I got to say, if the defense really stinks it up, I do think that they've got Dennis Allen there. I do think that the plan in Peyton's head is to cut bait with Ryan and go with Dennis Allen. I very much feel like Ryan is on the hot seat and he's coaching for his job.
Yeah.
Just as all those guys in training camp were fighting for a roster spot, I feel like Ryan is fighting for his spot, his spot on the team as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, when's their bye week? Their bye week is the 22nd, but that'll be too late. I think if they lose to Tampa, and they lose to Tampa, and you can directly point to the defense and not, like, three Breeze interceptions or a bunch of...
You think
of
it's going to happen that quickly?
No. I'm saying if they lose to... Say they lose to Tampa 35-31, and the defense is just a disaster, and Winston is fantastic, then Rob Ryan is officially on death watch.
Right.
Like, if they lose to Tampa because the defense sucks, he's dead man walking, and the plug can come at any time, you know.
Which is going to come first? Rob Ryan gets fired or Jairus Byrd returns?
That is a great question. That should be a poll question, man. If we had the ability to put a poll question up, you should put that up on Canal Street Chronicles.
Remind me because I'll forget.
I'm gonna say Jairus Byrd comes back. I hope.
Yeah.
Good God.
That would be mine.
I mean, they need. Let me ask you this: If I said to you. One person, Jairus Byrd can play this week, or C.J. Spiller can play this week. Who you got?
I would take Byrd.
Really?
I would take Byrd. I think they could use him a little bit. I think the defense needs a little bit more help than the offense.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I mean, that's. I get your feeling like the defense needs more help, but I think like. Jairus Byrd, if he comes back, even if he's 100% in all world with their pass rush not existent and their inability to stop the run, I think that Jairus Byrd only helps them marginally. I think C.J. Spiller, if they plug him in and he's healthy, this offense can be the Saints offense that we expect it to be, top 10, top 5 maybe. I think so. The difference that C.J. Spiller can make, I think it's I would take Spiller and it wouldn't even be a question. Are you like crushing a can on your forehead there?
No, I'm just replacing paper in a thermal printer. I'm in my office. Look, I wanted to say this about the game against the Cardinals. You know, I went into the game, I wasn't expecting much and I was happy with what I saw. You know, people are forgetting. First of all, people are blaming the defense. I thought the defense did okay. That, you know, technically it was a third. They scored 31 points,
yeah.
But you can not even count that last touchdown, just because it was sort of a gamble late in the game, and they kind of went for it, and it just didn't work. That was more of a coaching mistake than a defensive player mistake. So I mean, technically they kept the Cardinals to 24 points. I mean, I think that's pretty good. I think that's an improvement over last year. But I mean, honestly, I thought the offense was a little bit more of a disappointment on Sunday than the defense. But at the same time, you know, let's not forget people talk about the Saints as if they can just do whatever they want when they go out on the field. Like there's not another team trying to stop them.
That's the thing. I think Arizona's really good, and I know.
Yeah, well, they're
14-3 at home under Bruce Arians.
And I mean, we know for a fact that these guys are very good on defense. They have an incredible secondary with two guys from LSU that everybody knows Yeah. They're good at defense. People are saying, well, we didn't run the ball enough. They weren't giving us the run. There was no run to be taken. If Peyton had stuck with the run, they would have gotten them nowhere, and they would have had less points than the 19 that they got.
Yeah.
They did what they had to do. That's why you saw a lot of screen passes and dump offs. I mean, Mark Ingram looked like Pierre Thomas out there.
I mean, the thing is, with the Saints, they took less shots, and people were frustrated with the play calling. But I think, like, they know, the Saints know, look, they can't, this offense is not good enough to overcome when they could in 2013 or even 2011 or 2009, where Drew Brees can be a little reckless and it can be okay. Their offense is not that good, and their defense sure as hell, as Dave Prince house up, their defense sure as hell isn't good enough to overcome a pick six from Brees or a turnover inside the 20. Like, they're just not capable of it. So Drew Brees isn't going to risk take down the field, you know? And I think fans better get used to it. But, man, here's the thing that worries me about the offense is Colston is the GOAT for the Saints. Greatest of all time receiver. No doubt. No doubt. But he might be done, Dave. He might be done. I mean, he looked...
Man, we're just making all kinds of wild assumptions and speculations.
Man, that's what makes football fun, Dave. We have a whole week to speculate. If you want reasonable takes and you want measured analysis, there are plenty of podcasts and websites where you can go get that. People don't come here for that. They come here for the drinking and the ranting. And, oh, by the way, Allie is going to give us a rant at the end of the show. She is a patron. She donated. She won the rant raffle. She gives a rant that is magnificent. If you donate $1 a month and become a patron, you can rant on the podcast as well. But people know that. They come here. If they don't come here for analysis, except when Juge is on the program, they come here for emotion, Dave. That's what the people want.
I hear you.
So you don't think you think Colston's gonna? You don't worry about Colston at all?
I mean, I won't say not at all, but he may be able to put something together for this year. But I mean, he's definitely, you know, the Grim Reaper is definitely tolling.
I think even versus average secondary, Colston's a non-factor from now on. That's just, and when you play a good secondary like Arizona, they'll just lock it up. And I think Brandon Cooks, I like him a lot, but he's not a number one receiver. He's a really good number two if you have a bunch of pieces around him. And it's just, I worry about it. We're negative.
You're negative. I'm not negative.
I mean,
let me tell you something.
You picked them 6-10, though.
Yes.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. I picked 8-8.
8-8. You still feel good about 8-8?
So, when I made my prediction, I was thinking like 9-7, and I backed it off to 8-8 because you guys were being so doomsday. I feel absolutely confident about 8-8. Here's what I saw on Sunday. I saw, you know, obviously a lot of young guys, 25 new players, 11, 12 rookies, whatever the stats are, the numbers. And what I saw was these young players who they'd make a good play, then they'd make a bad play. Then they'd make a bad play, then they'd make a good play. You know, it was like 50-50. You guys like Damian, Brandon Cole. Brandon Coleman, are you calling Juge?
I'm calling Juge.
Brandon Coleman, you know, makes a great touchdown catch. He does a spinorama, dives for the pylon, keeps his knee off the ground, makes a great touchdown. And then, you know, later in the game, he can't catch a simple pass. Stephon Anthony, I watched a little film of the first quarter last night. And, you know, Stephon Anthony on the long run from the Cardinals early in the game from Ellington, he shoots the wrong gap and picks the wrong hole to go through. And Ellington goes out the other side of the line, and he's gone. Later in the game, he chooses the right gap, makes a decisive decision. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And and runs right at Ellington and catches him in the backfield. You know, again, a bad play followed by a good play. You know, these guys, they're young. They're inexperienced. I remain optimistic because I feel like these guys are going to start picking up the speed. They're going to get comfortable in their roles. They're going to be comfortable with the team. And they're, you know, obviously their knowledge is going to increase. And I hope that some of these 50-50 play, you know, games where they make 50 of their plays and they screw up 50 of their plays, turn into like 75-80% they're making these plays and only screwing up 20% of the time. And when that happens, you know,
in 2016.
No, it can happen this year. It can happen in a matter of weeks, to be honest with you. But you've got Stephon Anthony, Kikaha, Damian Swan, I thought looked good. Delvin Bro. I mean, I saw some stuff that in the secondary. I saw guys batting down passes, and I liked the fact that Delvin Bro was physical. I'm okay with him taking a penalty maybe in one game. Because you know what? If we ever make it to the playoffs, some of that stuff's not even going to get called. That's the kind of shit that the Seahawks pulled, and that helped them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well.
I like it. I feel like we played a little bit more physical on defense.
Well,
we took a little bit more chances, and it kind of paid off sometimes. And we're just taking risks. We're taking risks.
Well, I can tell you one person that didn't like it, Andrew Juge. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. You probably
My God. If you listen to Dave talk, you'd think the Saints have won by 50.
You are Dave. Andrew took the Marlboro Doom machine. He cranked that son of a bitch up to 100, and he broke off the knob. Andrew has been. I've been doom texting with Juge all day long. Juge, you are chock full of doom.
Yeah, I mean, sorry I'm late, by the way. I had a long tennis match that I didn't expect to go that long, but how far into the podcast are we?
We are pretty far, but give your thoughts. The people want them.
Okay. Sorry about that. You know, I mean, on some level, I wasn't that surprised. I mean, I predicted 6-10, and I thought the Saints kind of played like a 6-10 team, honestly. I mean, it's not like they were awful. But not nearly consistent enough, in my opinion, to get the results that we're hoping for.
Well,
that's amazing.
Here's my question, and this is one of the things I wanted you on for. You do the grades on Saints Nation, and I told Dave at the beginning of the podcast, the thing that concerned me the most is I see no hope, and I argued with people on Twitter, some even NOLA Media today, I argued that there is no hope for this team in 2015, right now, at defensive tackle. None.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of positions that I had concerns with coming into this game. And
yeah, but
I
have hope at some of them, Andrew. At defensive tackle, I have none.
No, I agree. Yeah, there's little hope. I don't see Kevin Williams getting really any better. John Jenkins, to me, just hasn't really ever lived up to the potential that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the light still comes on for him, but it's starting to get later into his NFL career. Three years in, you don't really see anything. You start to wonder.
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks seems to be regressing. You look at a lot of these guys, these no-name guys. I mean, you know, we're a game into the season, so it's hard to know what they have from these undrafted guys, but I think you're fooling yourself if you think any of them are going to be Pro Bowlers.
All right, Andrew, if Marcus Colston, maybe he's not. I don't think he's done in a sense that I think when the Saints play mediocre to bad secondaries, he'll still be okay. But when they play good or even average secondaries, Colston's probably going to be a non-factor. If Sean Payton decides that he needs to start phasing Colston out and wants to give those reps to somebody else, who gets them at receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we've already seen that happen with Meacham. You know, last year, you know, he was a shell of his former self, and he was really starting to get phased out. And, you know, late in the season, you saw obviously Phil kind of pass him on the depth chart. You know, Brandon Cooks, obviously, and Colston, and even Nick Toon passed him up on the depth chart. So, I think if you're asking me who you look at that could possibly come in and help the Saints with a receiver, you know, they looked at Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks is a guy that you could look at that possibly come in and help the Saints. Sean Tavius Jones is on the practice squad again. That's a guy they could call up that knows the system. And you never know with Nick Toon. I mean, that's another guy.
Nick Toon is going to save us. Oh, Jesus.
Well, no, I definitely don't think that they're going to save us, but at some point, or even Joe Morgan, at some point, one of those guys is not hurting you as much as Marcus Colston is.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go in my garage and start my car and take a nap. My God.
Well, I mean, the thing about Colston, let's wait and see. I mean, it's one game, you know, and I think Colston, while by and large you would say last year was a down year for him, he looked his age, he looked like he wasn't the player he used to be. He did have some good games.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a complete disaster last year. And now, that being said, he had some games.
He had that great moment where he cost the Saints a defensive tackle in the first round when he scored the winner in Tampa. Great moment.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think you look at this game, and obviously it was terrible for him. But I'm not ready to assume that the whole season's going to be like that for Colston. I don't think Colston's ever going to be the Colston that we expect, but I think it's reasonable to think that maybe he can come back and bounce back from this and have some decent games. I think inconsistency of receiver, unfortunately, is going to be kind of a theme this year because, you know, Brandon Coleman, as good as he was at times in that game, that's the main issue with him, too, is consistency. And, you know, for me, Brandon Cooks clearly in that game showed me that he's not good enough to be a number one receiver against the cover corner like that.
Yeah, I think that's true. So, I mean, Dave, where are you with the offense right now? How on the Dave Dune, on the Dave Cariello panic scale, where are you on the offense?
I'm not panicking yet. We're at DEFCON, I don't know, yellow, 4-2. Sorry, I'm mixing up DEFCON and the terrorism color scale. I'm not worried yet. Let's see what happens against Tampa Bay. But, I'm like I said, they played the Cardinals. The Cardinals have a very, very good defense, one of the best in the league. It's hard to judge them just by that one game against a very good defense.
Andrew, before we get to Twitter questions, I want to ask you, Rafael Bush is out for the year. Who goes at safety, you think?
Well, they just signed Kenny Phillips today, or at least there are some reports out there that he's coming back. So my guess is it's Kenny Phillips. You know, they threw Jamarcus Sanford out there because they didn't really have anyone, and that's not really his position. So he's more of a strong safety. So my guess would be Kenny Phillips would go in there and start a free safety. It's unbelievable. Pierre Warren is not even on the practice squad, and he's one injury away from potentially coming back to the Saints and being the starting free safety.
Oh, God, I wanted you to tell me a different answer. I said that earlier. I wanted you to give me some hope. Jesus.
Yeah, no. If Pierre Warren's playing, we're in big trouble. But, obviously at this point, you know, we've heard the rumors about Jarrett Bird. The Saints need him now more than ever. I think mediocre or a shell of his former self, Jarrett Bird, is pretty much better than anything else at this point. So he needs to get help.
Oh, Lord. All right. Before we get to Twitter questions and Tampa preview, as we said at the beginning of the show, Allie, she won the rant raffle. So right now, she is going to give you a fantastic rant on the Saints' loss to Arizona. Here she is. You know her, Allie of Sin, our biggest fan. Take it away.
Thanks, Rolf. One thing, I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag rain and days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line. It is sad. Also, I am 2 drop passes away from trading in my Colson jersey for a Snead jersey and a bottle of scotch. Another thing, had you told me on Saturday night that the defense would get as many turnovers as the offense scored touchdowns, I'd have had you committed. And also that they would make more stops than the offense scored points. This is crazy. We're in a parallel universe. But I can say that one thing I took away that was wonderful about this game is that Damian Swan is a rookie god, and he should be heralded as such. Last thing, Delvin Bro Show is apparently the penalty show that we thought that Brandon Browner was going to be. But as long as he keeps recovering fumbles and defending passes, I will take it.
Amen.
So,
amen, sister. That was fantastic, Allie. And everybody else, if you want to do a rant, all you have to do is be a patron and donate a dollar, and you can get free therapy like Allie just got. Allie, you're the best. We'll see you on Twitter.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
All right, let's get to Twitter questions. Andrew, first one up for you. This is from the Afrocentric Asian. Andrew, which biblical saint do you think could create the most pressure?
Oh, man. My parents would be mortified at my lack of Bible knowledge here. I would say which Bible saint would be the best at creating pressure?
What's the patron saint of lost causes?
Yeah.
Moses isn't Moses isn't a saint. I think it's Saint Christopher is the saint of patron saint of lost causes.
I mean, yeah, we need someone who can part an offensive line right down the middle. We can go unabated to the quarterback. So I would go with Moses.
This is from Zarly Dave. Why didn't we blitz and pressure Carson during the second half? He looked old. He's an old man. What gives?
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed like most of the game they were just rushing four guys. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's up with that.
Hmm.
I think the Saints, I mean, I could be wrong. I think the Saints felt like they needed the guys in coverage, and they were getting enough pressure with Kikaha and Cam Jordan. I mean, they weren't getting sacks, but I felt like, you know, they didn't trust their coverage, and they felt like they were no. And so I think they were. They felt like if they were getting no pressure whatsoever, obviously they didn't get the sacks. But I think if you watched the game, you felt like Palmer was at least rattled a bit at times.
Andrew, this is from Don Tanaka. What's more likely to happen in the game against the Bucks?
It's Don Tacano.
Tacano. Doug Martin, what's more likely? Doug Martin runs for over 200 yards or the Saints get a sack?
I mean, the Bucks' offensive line is pretty weak. So I'm going to say Saints get a sack, but I would not be surprised to see Doug Martin run for about 150.
Oh, my God.
200 seems a little high. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks come into this game and say, you know what? We're not even going to risk it with Jameis. We're going to hand the ball off to Doug Martin, and we're going to force the Saints to show that they can stay disciplined, stay in their gap, make tackles. You know, the Cardinals are pretty much the worst team at running the football in the NFL, and I think they ran for over 100 yards, about 4.5 a pop against the Saints.
125.
Yeah, right. that's the worst rushing team in the NFL. So
great.
I think the Bucks are going to come in ready to run.
Hans asked, "What's
okay,
more?"
They were the worst rushing team in the NFL. Like, all I'm going to say is they were the worst rushing team in the NFL last year. We don't know how bad they are at rushing the ball or good they are at rushing the ball this year.
I can tell you they're not going to be as good as they won't rush for 125 yards again until October. That's my fun prediction. And Ellington's hurt now, so that doesn't help them. What's more potent to dull a Saints loss, Ralph? NyQuil or Crown? Which do you prefer? I prefer both. I was doing that a little Saturday.
I would go bleach.
Does Astros' success help mitigate the Saints' failure for you? Absolutely. The Astros won a wild one yesterday, and yes, the Astros do mitigate the Saints being terrible by about 25-30%. Andrew, which player would make the Saints an instant contender right now? No, don't think salary cap, just pick a player.
Well, J.J. Watt, of course. Yeah, I think as much as the offense is disappointing and you would want them to play better, I still think on the defensive side of the ball, having a dominant guy up front is what this team is really missing.
Yeah, he would make Cam Jordan look really good. Dave, what the hell's wrong with Colston?
Well, I think we just talked about that. I don't know. He's old.
All right. Another question. This is from Dominic. Did Coach Payton?
Well, hold on. About Colston, I do think it's an interesting question. How much of it is mental versus physical? I don't know the answer, but I wonder how much of this is in his head.
Yeah. Did Coach Payton make mistakes due to his missing granny glasses?
You know, he was
didn't he have it?
Earlier.
He had his glasses.
Yeah, but they were like the Rick Perry failed presidential campaign glasses. let's see. Are you concerned seeing Peyton Ryan arguing on the sideline already?
Yes, yes. If there's any question related to the Saints that starts with "Are you concerned?", the answer is yes.
How about that?
No,
unilaterally.
But that's a good.
Are you concerned about the Andrew? Are you concerned about the kicker?
Yes.
No. No, that was like the best part about the whole game.
This is from Dylan.
Yeah, but that was one game. You're telling me that he can't implode in game two?
He could.
I'm still concerned about it. I'm not like, okay, Zach Hocker's clearly the next Morton Anderson after one game. Still a concern.
Nobody's saying that. We're just trying to get somebody even on the level of Garrett Hartley. Just give us the guy for a couple of years at least.
How do we reverse the curse that Darren Sproles' wife put on the Saints?
I don't know.
Andrew, the Saints are 11-14 since losing Jabari Greer. Should we be concerned?
We're 11-14 since Jabari Greer got hurt?
Yeah.
Should we be concerned? Yes. Next question.
Should the OC Pete Carmichael play call instead of Sean Payton?
That's a good question. Why not? I think at some point you have to mix things up, you know, maybe get a different, fresh perspective. We'll see. I don't think it's time to pull the plug on Sean Payton yet, but the first game, I don't think he's going to get it.
I don't like Sean Payton that coaches like all the rest of the coaches in the NFL. I like balls to the wall, aggressive, reckless. This might turn out really, really badly, Sean Payton. I don't like this.
Did you guys already discuss the 4th and 6, the decision to punt?
Nope.
We were waiting for you. It was horrible, Andrew. It was horrible, and it's wrong, and I don't want to hear about it was the right call. It was totally, totally wrong. The Saints' best chance to win was number 9 throwing another pass. And that's just...
Yeah, I mean, you got to think of it like this. Best case scenario, absolute best case scenario, you get the ball back with no timeouts, about 50 seconds, from your 20 if the punt goes for a touchback.
Yeah.
That's, you got to go 80 yards in 50 seconds with no timeouts. Best case scenario. I'll take my chances on 4th and 6 with 1:40 left and 2 timeouts.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, a lot of times, Andrew, and this is not based on any facts at all, but I feel like a 2-minute drive can be completely a mess. And then on 4th and 6, you hit Colson up the seam for 20 yards, and it becomes a scramble for the defense, and the crowd starts to panic, and then you get rolling. It only takes one good play to sort of kick it in gear, you know? And I just...
What were you seeing from the offense Sunday that made you think they could pull off a 4th and 6,
nothing,
or 4th and 7,
but
nothing.
So, but
exactly.
I knew when they punted they were
exactly.
doomed.
But whatever, they were doomed either way. Then
I'd rather have seen Drew Brees throw a horrible pick 6 or something than anything but more said punting. Let's see. Do we have any more questions? This is from Reichert. Andrew, did Colson sell his hands to the devil in exchange for an arena football team? If so, why hasn't he fired his agent?
Yeah, it makes you start to wonder. How much better do I sound now, by the way?
You sound a lot better.
Much better.
All right. Now let's get to fun game predictions. Andrew, I'll let you go first.
For the Tampa game?
Yes, for the Tampa game. Saints are a 10.5-point favorite, by the way.
Yeah, that's easy money, and that's free cash. you got to take Tampa. I'm sticking to 6-10, so I think the Saints will make a run. But I think right now they're not at a good place. I think Tampa will play better than they did last week.
Yeah.
And
I just think right now the Saints are not at a great place. So I'm going to say 27-17 Tampa.
That is bad.
Saints lose by 10. And you know, if you remember,
gotta be shitting me.
If you remember the last 2 years, or I'm
Tampa.
Sorry, the last two games against Tampa, Breeze had about 5 or 6 picks combined in those games. So defensively, the Bucs have
Three of the last four games against Tampa have been a crap show for Drew Brees.
Yeah, so he hasn't performed well against that defense. And on top of that, you look at both of those games. The first one in New Orleans, Tampa had a pick six that basically iced the game. And it was called back because of a helmet-to-helmet hit on Brees, which was pretty suspect, if you guys remember that.
Yeah, it was.
The Saints screen, Pierre Thomas screened the Bucks to death to come back in that game and win it in overtime. But if that pick six holds up on a kind of flimsy helmet-to-helmet, they lose that game. And then the Bucks basically handed the Saints their behinds in the second game and forfeited the second half to let the Saints win. So I don't necessarily think that this is an easy game.
It's not an easy game. But, okay, so if they lose 27-17, who's the go to the game?
I'm going to say Breeze. You know, I think it's going to be one of those things where he's going to realize the receivers aren't really doing much, and, you know, he can't throw screens over and over, and the defense isn't playing well, and he's going to press and feel like he has to do too much, and we'll see an uptick in turnovers. So I'll go with Breeze. But, you know, I will say this. The one thing I want to say is this is a critical game for the Saints already in the season. I mean, they're 0-1. They're coming back home. They're riding, like, what, a 4 or 5-game losing streak
five
in the Superdome.
Like
they're playing a division opponent. They've got to get back to 500. They've got to win this game.
If
you're listening to this podcast and you're going to the game, don't be all doom and gloom. Go to the Dome, support the Saints, and be loud and help them win this game.
Dave, you made your prediction, but this is a hope game, whereas if the Saints don't win, all the hope that you had for the 2015 season is done. But, Dave, go make your prediction.
I mean, is Andrew saying that we shouldn't judge the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by their performance in the first game?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think they're going to trust Jameis Winston as much. I think they're going to pound Doug Martin all day.
Well, I mean, I would possibly agree with that, and that might be the smart thing to do. Maybe they realized after this game that Winston isn't ready to be trusted.
And they're going to watch the tape and see that the Saints don't stay in their gaps.
Well, I would say for the Saints, I would really like to think and hope that they're going to be focused on stopping the run. I think the game plan for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense needs to be focusing on Doug Martin and stopping the run and forcing Winston to make the plays. And the chances are he's probably not going to be able to make that many plays because he's young and he's green. And personally, I never really thought he was that good to begin with. That needs to be the game plan. And I, you know, just like you don't think we should judge the Bucks by their performance in the first game, I don't think that we should judge the Saints by their first performance in the first game either. I think there's two sides to that coin. So I would say, you know, this is the homer in me, but I just think we're going to see a lot better product out there on Sunday than we did this past weekend. And I'm, like I said, I've been fairly optimistic from what we saw out there. I'm definitely not doom and gloom. I'm gonna say 35-21 Saints.
Who's the MVP?
I'm gonna go with Brandon Cooks probably.
I like it.
I'm gonna
The Saints have to win this game.
I
really feel
I
like teams don't fear playing the Saints anymore, and they don't fear coming to the Superdome. So it's crucial for them to come into this game, kind of regain that mojo in the Superdome. And I hope I'm wrong, but that's the X factor that I really want to see. I mean, we haven't seen it in the last 5 or 6 games, but if they can come home and kind of reestablish that we win at home, then maybe the season still has hope for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, when I worked with Buddy D a long time ago, he used to call these games claim and race games. And people that are unfamiliar with horse racing, when your horse stinks and can't win, they put him in a claim and race. And if you don't win, a person can claim the horse and buy the horse or whatever. So it's crappy horses. And Buddy D used to always say, if you can't win the claiming race, you're fucked. And this is the same. This is a claiming race because Tampa's the worst team.
I thought we were cleaning up the language.
I thought we were too, but then the Saints looked like garbage. So look, the Saints, it's one curse word besides Allie's rant. It's fine. So here's the thing. They've got to win this game. It's just they got to win it. There's no other way to put it. Tampa's the worst team in the league. They got to win this game. I'm going to say it's 35-31 Saints, and it's going to look really, really bleak. But Damon Swan is going to get a pick on Winston late to save them, and they're going to win 35-31.
So you think the Saints are going to get in the end zone five times?
I think they're going to get in the end zone five times because I think Tampa's
and not settle for any field goals.
But I mean it could be 35 in a weird. It could be 35 in a weird way. I mean they could kick a bunch of field goals, miss an extra point or something, and get to 35. So
okay.
I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch if you're not a Saints or Tampa fan, because it's going to be a ton of points and Winston's going to be throwing, Breeze is going to be throwing. I think it's going to be that, and your MVP is going to be Swan. So it's 1-1. So Kevin was at wrestling. Thanks to Allie for ranting. You can make a one-time donation or be a patron. All you have to do is donate a dollar, and you can rant, too, and get some therapy. So for Andrew, who joined us late, go to Saints Nation. He's got the grades and all kinds of fun stuff. Dave is at Canal Street Chronicles, as always, with great stuff. Kevin is on OK Tinder Madison for the ladies. So for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.